I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Do you know God's stories uncensored? Most adults don't. And those who do, mostly only think they do because they heard them in Sunday school. Okay, well, here's something. I gave you a Genesis statistic last Sunday. I'm going to give you another one. Or maybe it was a week before. Doesn't matter. The first 11 chapters of Genesis cover 2,000 years. But the last 39 chapters of 50 focus on Joseph's great-grandpa Abraham, Joseph's grandpa Isaac, Joseph's father Jacob, and Joseph himself. The dysfunction of this one family takes up 78% of Genesis, which obviously it must be very significant. And I'll tell you, it is packed with graphic violence, brutality, sexuality, duplicity, and treachery, because these people are deeply damaged. And they repeatedly rebel against God. Because, and hear this loud and clear, because they are not superheroes, they are supernormals. Okay? And so you have to understand that as such, their faith, see, this isn't what you're taught in Sunday school, but as such, their faith is not a formula to follow. It's a showcase of how God's grace rescues and restores us from our brokenness. That's 78% of Genesis right there in this one family. And if you've only seen the heavily censored scenes, that's okay. That's okay. Unless you assume that you know them, you know these stories, without seeing them or reading them again as an adult. Because when I was a child, I talked like a child. And I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But of course, when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now, here's the thing. Unless and until we do likewise, ladies and gentlemen, we see but a poor reflection. And you know, we only know in part. And that's why for the next few weeks, as Noah continues to heal, we're going to dive into the uncensored unpleasantness of God's stories as curated for us by the Lord himself. Joseph's horrific journey highlights God's purpose and peace and power against the dark backdrop of abuse, neglect, and abandonment. And so in this little limited series, we are going to get to watch it gradually play out in the lives of those who trust the Lord and those who don't. Because the whole thing is there to reflect our own hopes and fears and desires and disappointments and unhealed and hidden shame. Because above all, it's just one story of the one who creates from nothing by calling and healing the ungodly. So that's good news, huh? That's really good news. You see, children's teachers edit these stories into simple narratives with clear moral lessons. But the truth is, these stories are complex and messy, right? Because people are pretty messed up. And the only real hero is the Lord. And that's the point. That's the whole point. Over and over, the Lord's collection of stories validates this wisdom to trust in the Lord with all your heart. And so you look at these people and you apply it to you and you get it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding if it leads you away and astray from His will and His word and His ways. So you got to let go of control and put childish ways behind you. And in all your ways, acknowledge Him. And there's the promise. And He will make your paths straight. Versus chaotic. Which doesn't mean, this doesn't mean, you know, lean not on your own understanding. That doesn't mean you stop thinking. It means that you stop fretting and devising plans that violate His nature. It means we yield our will to His will whenever the two wills are not in unity. And yet, each story in Scripture also illustrates, and this is great, how our Father has factored all of our messiness into His eternal equations, right? We call Him the master chess player. And all He asks is that we enjoy His stories. That's it. Just enjoy the stories. Become like children. So that you can put childish ways behind you. Enjoy the stories and put ourselves into them so that He can speak to us through them. And thus, Genesis isn't merely a resource to be referenced. It is a reality to be entered. And so, although my goal is usually to see how much we can get out of God's Word, in this limited series, I want to see how much we can get into it, okay, and put yourselves in it. Because the more we get into it, the more we'll get out of it. And the more we get out of it, well, the more clearly we can hear God speak to our heart. And so, previously, on the dysfunctions of the dysfunctional drama of the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Here it is in a nutshell. Abraham favors Ishmael over Isaac. Problems. And then Isaac grows up and Isaac favors Esau over Jacob. Problems. Right? And then Jacob favors Joseph over Reuben. And Simeon, and Levi, and Judah, and Dan, and Naphtali, and Gad, and Asher, and Issachar, and Zebulun. The sons who become the tribes of Israel. But you talk about problems. Oh man. Joseph's epic journey epically foreshadows Jesus. That's why it takes up so much real estate, you know? Called by God, but rejected and betrayed by his own. Sold out for the price of a slave. Unjustly convicted, he descends into an underground dungeon. And though thought to be dead, he's raised to rule in power and glory at the right hand of God. With a little g. That's just how they referred to Pharaoh. It's a little g God. In order to save his people and a dying world as the only source of the literal bread of life during that 7-year famine. And though tempted, remains true. And though falsely accused, remains faithful. And is a struggle. And just like Jesus, Joseph is a fruitful vine. Because of the shepherd, the rock, the Almighty, who blesses you, speaking to Joseph, who blesses you with blessings of the heavens above and the deep that lies below. All these, we're told, all these rest on the head of Joseph, the prince among his brothers. And I don't think it's coincidence that 1900 years later, another Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, by whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah, the Savior, and the good shepherd, the rock of salvation, and the prince of peace. And yet, little Joe lives on as a shining example of the promise of the Almighty. For we know, as believers, we know, not feel, not hope, not think, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, because they'll trust Him, who have been called according to His purpose, right? Because they lean not on their own. Because, see, those God foreknew, Joseph was certainly one, for those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. And boy, that's Sir Joseph. The heart of the story of Joseph comes at the tail end in the form of grace. When Joseph concludes, "You brothers," you're talking to his brother, "you brothers only intended to harm me." That, you know, that was it. That's all that was in your heart. But God, and hear this though, God intended it, your harm, your bad motives, God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So you see, how we react to those who hurt us is far more important than how we've been hurt, which is important, but not as important as how we react to those who hurt us, because our response always reveals where our trust really lies. And if you want the peace that passes understanding, then you gotta know that you know, not feel or hope or assume, that He is taking the sin of the destroyers and the haters and the abusers and using it, making it the means of their salvation, right? And our eternal best, because His light lives to break into brokenness, to bring total, eternal healing. No matter how much hate is in our heart, or how profoundly we've messed things up. And I'll tell you, that's the good news. That's the gospel of Jesus, according to Joseph, a young man of just 17 who was tending the flocks with his older brothers. These guys were the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, who were two of his 107-year-old fathers. Get that. Three living wives, because Joseph's mom, Rachel, had died. And Joseph brought their father, Jacob, a bad report about them. Because as you'll see, they only speak hatefully to him. Now Israel, that's Jacob's other name, right? It means the guy who struggles with God. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age, at 90. At 90. And so when Jacob's number one son, Reuben, sleeps with Jacob's number three baby mama, Bilhah, Jacob strips Reuben of his birthright, skips over sons numbers 2 through 10, and gives Reuben's authority and privilege to son number 11. And Jacob made a richly ornamented robe for him. And Jacob made things so much worse for him. Because when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not even speak a kind word. Now that literally says they couldn't speak shalom, peace, kindness. Couldn't speak shalom to him. But this is interesting. You know when those brothers first saw with their own eyes, with soul-shattering certainty, that their dad loved number 11 more than numbers 1 through 10? And it got nothing to do with the robe. It predates the robe. It is when Jacob made those sons into expendable human shields to protect little Joe's life. It's not that long before, but the family caravan was about to collide head-on with Jacob's twin, Esau, who'd been murderously stewing for 20 years after Jacob manipulated him into forfeiting his birthright for a bowl of stew. And then Jacob deceived their father Isaac into giving him Esau's blessing. So there might be blood, right? Because there was Esau coming with his 400 men. Whoa, that's scary. So what's Jacob do? Oh, Jacob divided the children among their mothers. Leah with 6 sons. Rachel with Joseph. And the 2 maidservants, Bilhah and Zilpah, with 4. And he put the maidservants and their children in front. Leah and her children next. And Rachel and Joseph in the rear. Can you imagine being pushed out front? Because the guy might be here to murder us and we need time to get, you know, the good ones out. Now, the good news of the story is Esau, he'd been reborn. Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. He threw his arms around his neck and kissed him. The bad news is that those 10 disposable sons never forgot the rank their father assigned to them. And when they saw how he favored little Joe, they hated him. And then when Jacob skips over them and made a richly ornamented robe for him, it wasn't so much a robe at that point as a fuse, and it's lit. And if it was soaked in gas, it wouldn't have been more volatile. And then Joseph had a dream. The brothers are sheaves of wheat bowing to him. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. And he said to them, listen to this dream. Listen to this dream. Your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream. You don't have to share it, Joseph. But they're now stars bowing to him. And so his mom and dad, when he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him. But get this, something changes. His brothers were now jealous of him. Why? Why is it all of a sudden it goes from hate to jealous? I mean, hate's still there, but why jealous? Because his brothers are now believers. And I'll tell you why. Something that was taught in their culture. We see it when Joseph later explains it to Pharaoh. He says, the reason that the dream was given to Pharaoh in 2 forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. Which means the 10, these 10 need to act fast and take drastic action to keep number 11 from becoming number 1, right? Now, his brothers had gone to graze their father's flocks near Shechem. Shechem plays a role in so many stories, and especially this. But they'd gone to graze their father's flocks near Shechem, and Israel, Jacob, said to Joseph, I'm going to send you to them. 55 miles as the bird flies, 20 hours as the man walks, alone, through rough country, wearing a richly ornamented robe. Very well, he replied. Which means, it seems, little Joe can hold his own, right? So he readily puts himself in harm's way for the sake of those who hate him. That is so like Jesus. But how so? Is it like you or me? So Jacob said to him, go and see if all is well. Now again, that's the word shalom. And it's in there on purpose. Go and see if all is shalom with your brothers. The very shalom, they refuse to even speak to him. And bring word back to me. Okay, Shechem today looks like this, right? That's Shechem right there. But back in the day, it looked like that. We got this picture. Joseph had taken it right before. No. But this was taken in the 1800s and things just hadn't changed. But this is where two of Jacob's sons, Simeon and Levi, attacked the unsuspecting city because Shechem's Prince Shechem had raped their sister. So they attacked it, killing every male. And then the other sons of Jacob came and carried off all their wealth and all their women and children. So when this was previous, so when Joseph's story begins, his family includes these women and children whose husbands and sons and brothers and fathers were murdered by Simeon and Levi, about whom Jacob says, "Cursed be their anger, so fierce and so cruel." Quite the family dynamic. But that's Joseph's family right there. So Jacob's a bit concerned for the shalom of his sons in Shechem. And his new number one son is on his way to check on him. And his cold and cruel brothers are fully aware of what it means if his dreams are fulfilled. And they saw him in the distance. And before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. "Here comes that dreamer," they said to each other. "Come now, let's kill him. Let's kill him and throw him into one of these, underground water cisterns. And it'll say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams." But you got to understand their sinful reaction stems from their unredeemed, unresolved wounds. They're not super villains. They're super normals. We're all wounded. We're all born selfish. But we choose to respond in godly ways or selfish ways. That's the choice. And how we respond, far more significant than how we've been hurt. Because in the end, sin is how we express our hostility toward God. That's the key point today. Let's read that together. Sin is how we express our hostility toward God. And so, because it's a choice on how you respond, although number one son Reuben had his status taken and given to the arrogant kid in the approaching flashy coat of their father's favor, when Reuben heard this, he tried to rescue him. He tried to rescue little Joe from their hands. "Let's not take his life," he said. "Don't shed any blood." So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe and threw him alive into the empty cistern. How do you think he reacted? How do you think little Joe reacted and all that? Because it doesn't say right there. But 22 years later, when the brothers are sitting in their own dungeon in Egypt, and they don't know that the guy in control is Joseph, his guilt-ridden brothers said to one another, "Surely we are being punished because of our brother. Because we saw how distressed he was when he pleaded with us for his life. But we would not listen. And that's why this distress has come upon us." Oh, if they only knew, it's exactly why that distress came on them. But they don't know it's Joseph yet. They sent him in the dungeon. But that line there, "We saw how distressed he was when he pleaded with us for his life." That just tells us this isn't the story of a super spiritual, super human that's just got his act together. It's a story of just the regular kind of human. Bleeding and pleading and snot running, sobbing, and praying like he's never prayed before. Come on, God. Where's your goodness? Where's your power? Your purpose? Where's your love? And if you've put childish ways behind you, you know the answer. And you don't like the answer, but you know the answer. It's in the pit. It's in the pit. Because the Lord says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And he means it. Which means, like little Joe, our journey will inevitably involve a few pit stops. And you ain't gonna like it. And as they, those brothers, uncaringly sat down to calmly eat their meal, you know, while Joseph begs for his life, they looked up and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites. Jackpot for the brothers and the Ishmaelites. But that is a story in and of itself for next Sunday. So let's pray. Oh, Father God, we love you and worship you for rescuing us from our brokenness. Holy Spirit, inspire us and embolden us to put childish ways behind us. And Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you as the redeemer of our messiness. And everybody said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.